Welcome to Daily Devotion with Ken Gurley. Devotions designed to inspire you on your daily walk with God. Each day we walk through the vital principles of the abundant life. Our Lord can do above and beyond all we ask or think. Here's your host, Ken Gurley.
I'm a lover of old books, a special type of book. Authors that I follow after, holiness people of a day gone by. William McCallum Clough was one of those. Born in Scotland in the 19th century, ministered nearly exclusively in that country, died there as well. His books are profound. The Day of the Cross, The Evangel of the Straight Gate, The Old, Old Story, are the one I want to reference today, The Secret of the Lord. Clough believed that secrets belong to God, but God shared them with people who would seek his face, that God revealed the hidden things to those who were willing to draw near to him. I love that, and it has a firm biblical foundation. For the 25th Psalm says, "The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant." True Christianity practiced from the heart is a walk. Jesus is the way. He's the life. It's a light. Jesus is truth. It's a faith. It's more than this, though. It's an experience with God, too precious for unhearing ears and unseeing eyes. For they would treat it, as Jesus said, as swine do pearls, unseeing, unhearing, unable to comprehend the secret of a life hidden away with God. You may say, I want that, and I do too. This is Ken Gurley with Daily Devotion, and all of this week we're talking about assailing the gates of heaven in breakthrough prayer. It was Lloyd John Ogilvy who once said, the institutional church in America is filled with religious people who desperately need an experience of the living, holy, forgiving, gracious God. We need experiences with God. And that's what the psalmist meant about the secret of the Lord. It means encountering him, finding a new revelation, a new enlightenment, a new understanding. It's Abraham seeing a city with foundations and going in search of it. It's Jacob glimpsing a ladder stretching into heaven saying, the Lord is surely in this place. It's Moses at the burning bush. It's Samuel hearing the voice of the Lord in the middle of the night. It's Hagar glimpsing God in the wilderness. Each of these had an experience with God, in a sense, through their faith, through their desire to know God. He revealed himself to them in a new way. To Abraham, not to Lot. To Jacob, not to Esau. To Moses, not to Pharaoh. To Samuel, not to Eli. To Hagar, not to any other servant. For where there is a fear of the Lord, there is a passion for God, and God will show himself. More specifically, the psalmist said God showed his covenant, his faithfulness. Yet we know the Lord today in a deeper, sweeter way than the unutterable name of Jehovah. It's given way to that wonderful name of Jesus, the one who came to us, the one who has helped us through our life, through this year thus far. The one who revealed himself to us time and again. Since the secret of the Lord is understanding, and since our life with God is wrapped up in a wonderful experience, this means only you know what Jesus has done for you. The secret of the Lord for you is how he's worked in your life, what he's done for you and kept you from, how he lifted you, changed you, who Jesus was to you as a child, is not who he is today. Who you knew him to be as a teen or young adult may not be how you know him today. He's the same, yet he's so different. For what I needed him to be yesterday, I may not need him to be so much today. I need him to reveal himself again and again. So by faith, I can appropriate who he means to me today. It's the secret of the Lord. My understanding of him that's revealed day by day, moment by moment. Here is where I borrow from W.M. Clough. He said, Jesus is three things to each of us. He is master, he is friend, he is lover. And in those capacities, master, friend, and lover, Jesus has a secret to share with us. The master has a secret. In the day gone by, the word master was used often. It was the language of apprenticeship. Early in a person's life, he or she became an apprentice to some vocation or profession. Many names today still draw attention to those ancient apprenticeships: fuller, potter, turner, baker, cook, smith, carpenter, hooper. Most of the times, it was simply the family business. The elder taught the younger. At times, however, it was a master who chose a specific apprentice. The apprentice learned from the master, and each master had a secret. The craftsman had tricks of the trade, and the apprentice, through the years of association with the master, learned the trade. The great painters of the Renaissance era had their secrets, and to those pupils whose talent caught their eye, they could teach to paint, such that in the art world, there's a question about whether the master painted some works or one of the apprentices. We're under the watchful eyes of the masters. Apprentices tried, failed, experimented, succeeded, until everything the master could teach had been learned, and then the student had entered into the master's secret and was ready to embark on their own. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. Not to the scoffer, the mocker, the cynic, the critic. No, it's with them who serve the master. And that's the secret of Jesus, the master. It's service. We serve as we see him serve. We are apprentices to the master. We watch him. We watch for him. We look to him. We burn with his passion, his zeal, his values. We know the ways of the one who called himself the way. We learn of him. We draw close to him. We don't seek to outshine the master, but to bring glory to the master. We don't take what we've learned from Jesus and turn it into a sideshow. No, Jesus remains the main event, the solitary figure on the stage of the world, the one with whom we are fascinated, and the one for whom we give and give all. G. Campbell Morgan once said, "The proportion in which I know my Lord is the proportion in which I'm prepared to serve him. Is it not certain that when I know as I am known, I shall be more perfectly prepared to serve?" Understand the service aspect of the master. That's the master's secret. Then you can serve him through serving others anywhere at any time. We serve God in our prayer for others. We serve him in our efforts to reveal him to the lost. We serve the master by reaching, teaching, encouraging. We enter into the master's secret of service. Jesus is more than master, though. He is friend. So we have the master's secret of service, but we also have the friend's secret of understanding. Judas was a traitor. He did not fear the Lord. He was not a friend of God. He sold him out. So the secrets poured out to the 11 were not poured out on the 12th. To them, he says, "You're not my apprentices, you're not merely my servants, you're my friends. And I've made known everything to you." That's the secret from a friend: knowledge. Knowing purposes and plans, knowing ways and behaviors. Others guess, but friends know. That's why you can learn little of Jesus from a skeptic. Put a pen in the hand of an unbeliever. They can tell you very little of Jesus Christ. So-called experts in church history who do not know Jesus have little to tell you about him. Oh, they may tell you customs and times and historical tidbits, but only those who know Jesus, only those who lean on him and can hear the divine whisper, understand and comprehend. It's as A.W. Tozer once said, "Now, as always, God discloses himself to babes and hides himself in thick darkness from the wise and the prudent." So we must simplify our approach to him. We must strip down to essentials, and they will be found to be blessedly few. We must put away all effort to impress and come with the guileless candor of childhood. If we do this, without doubt, God will quickly respond. For the friend's secret of knowledge is with them that fear him. We have the master's secret of service, the friend's secret of knowledge. Then there's the lover's secret. All lovers have secrets. I reference the trysting place in Blessed 90 Days to Change Your World. Love is not love unless it possesses reverence, awe, devotion, trembling, fear, passion, fire. I'm not talking about base passion, erotic passion. I'm speaking of agape, a love like no other. The friend's secret is knowledge, but the lover's secret is the revelation of character. We know even as we are known. John Guest wrote, just as husband and wife live out their lives against the backdrop of being married, so do we live out the entirety of our lives against the backdrop of a constant relationship with God. He is always there, always loving us, always ready to listen to us. As we recognize His unwavering commitment to us, we are able then to live in the day-to-day adventure and the challenge of His presence. We enjoy the dialogue. It's as if we say, oh, I've got to talk to Jesus about this. It's clear who Jesus' inner circle was, Peter, James, and John. He took them places. He took them farther. And on Mount Hermon, He revealed Himself to them. They saw Him as He really was and is. They saw Him in His glory. They were, as Peter said, eyewitnesses of His majesty. They saw beyond what others saw. They possessed the lover's secret. Now, if you follow the life of Moses, at first he knew God as master. Moses is called a servant of the Lord. Later, we read that Moses spoke to God face to face as with his friend. He then knew God as friend. But Moses would eventually pray, show me your glory. Reveal to me the depth of your character. Let me see you not as master or friend, but as the lover of my life and soul. Jewish teachers have an unusual belief, a legend, I guess, that when Moses lay dying on the mountain, God stooped and kissed him. He would hide away the body of Moses so Satan couldn't find him. It was a picture of mourning, sorrow, the protectiveness born of love. Peggy Noonan, speechwriter for the late President Ronald Reagan, was once asked by a friend, how do you find God? She replied, finding God is not hard because He wants to be found. So how do you find Him? Noonan says, first, get yourself in trouble. Let life make you miserable. No one can get to God except through trouble. And that's true, but the secret of the Lord is not trouble. The secret of the Lord is found through fearing Him, seeking Him, calling out to Him. To find God in a new and a living way, to find Him not just as master, but to let that relationship grow until you are friends. And then it doesn't stop just at friend, but He becomes the lover of your soul, the fairest of 10,000, the altogether lovely one, the one for whom you devote your entire life and commit your life into His loving hands and in His keeping. The Lord is doing a great work in our lives, but we need to know that the secret of the Lord is within that fear Him. He will keep covenant with you. He will show Himself faithful to you. So go ahead, cry out to God. He's here.
Thank you for sharing in daily devotion with Ken Gurley. We pray this ministry has been a source of encouragement and strength to you. Please be mindful that your financial support enables us to meet with you each day. To give a donation or connect with us, visit our website at kengurley.com. There you will also find the latest books, podcasts, and resources. Blessed 90 Days to Change Your World is Pastor Gurley's latest book. You can get your copy of this life-changing book at kengurley.com. May God's favor rest on you in every way until we meet again.